All right, welcome to another T-Rex Talk. I was going to have a super clever intro for you guys, but then I couldn't think of anything. But if you look at the background is incredibly cool and has the techie look that we were going for this conversation. So this conversation, this T-Rex Talk is going to be about the Chameleon Targets, which we released just over a year ago. And it's not something that we've talked about a whole lot in the past year, partly because we've been busy with other stuff. 2020 was an extremely busy year, and a lot of our plans to expand on the Chameleon line and market the Chameleon line just kind of didn't happen. But Chameleon Targets have been selling quite well. Wow, that's really good lighting, Charles. That works beautifully to show off the somewhat realism of the Chameleon Targets. For those of you that don't know how the Chameleon Target system works, or how we came about building it, it was essentially an idea that Lucas had. Prior to the 2020 flu season that is still upon us today, Lucas was doing a lot more traveling and a lot more training and working with a lot more people. And one of the issues that he was running into is something that has actually been talked about quite a bit before, and that is inside of shoot houses, inside of shoot, no shoot training, there is a limited number of targets. And so because of that, after the first few drills, you've kind of memorized all the targets that you're going to see inside of a shoot house. And you're no longer doing the proper target identification. You're just recognizing, oh, there's that red Hawaiian shirt. He's always okay to shoot. And you always shoot the red Hawaiian shirt target without actually doing, I can't even probably mime holding something that would be a firearm based on Google's live streaming rules. Someone who might be holding some kind of violent accessory. So based on that, Lucas had the idea of coming up with a target system where there's a lot more variety, there's a lot more factors involved in that decision-making process. And then we worked on that together and we came up with the Chameleon Targets, which look like computer animated characters because that's basically what they are. So there's a ton of different variables that go into each of these guys. We got a bunch of different options for people, what kind of weapons they're carrying, what kind of camera angle, and then there's a gazillion variables like hair and clothing and... can we talk about skin color, Charles? Is that something that we're allowed to recognize as existing? I mean, I think gender is not supposed to exist, so skin color definitely... shouldn't be something that we talk about. But we have targets that you are meant to fire upon in certain circumstances, and then we have targets that you are not meant to fire upon in other circumstances and different camera angles and different clothing and clothing colors and tattoos and all kinds of various identification things. So this is a really simple, so this guy actually has a melee weapon, as the gamers call it, and yeah, in fact, these targets, I would say, are kind of like, I would say, Grand Theft Auto 5 in their quality level, something like that.
What inspiration.
The inspiration? Well, so they weren't actually inspired by anything in particular. This is just as good as I can do. Like, that's the style. The style is, this is as good as I can make them. They don't actually need inspiration. They just need the limitations of the artist. So that is the way that, that's how the Chameleon Targets came about. We released those last year. And this year they've actually been selling fairly well. And we've done a lot of bulk orders recently to different departments and agencies and even different countries. Some of the things that are interesting about these targets is you might look at the technology behind these because there are... I don't want to say infinite combinations because infinite is an awfully big number, but there are tens of thousands of different variables spread out over tens of thousands of different possibilities. So yeah, you should never see the same target twice when you buy these. So yeah, here's somebody that needs to be looked at twice, see if it's okay to shoot. Chad, shoot, no shoot?
No shoot.
No shoot, you sure? Okay. So that's, they're kind of a pain to deal with on camera. When you buy them from the T-Rex Arms web store, they come in tubes of 25. You can either buy all shoot or half shoot and half no shoot. Fun fact, that I Love New York guy, his I Heart New York is also like a little targeting indicator. So yeah, kind of handy. So one of the things that we have done with these is bulk orders, where you can customize exactly what percentage of shoot, no shoot, exactly what percentage of long gun, short gun, exactly what percentage of the different poses, the front, side, back view. One of the things that's really interesting, let me see if we have a side view in here. So we've gotten a lot of feedback from people who are using these. So side view, let me see if, the other thing that is kind of helpful, because there are so many options, I don't actually know that there's a good example of this in here, but we have little descriptions on the corners so you can flip through and look for a firearm side view. One of the things that a trainer told us recently is a lot of people come out into the shoot house, they look at the target and they decide not to shoot this guy. And then they quickly switch to another target and they decide to shoot this guy. And we have these scoring rings that are anatomically correct and track with the actual hit zones that would be on a real human person, more or less. Or, you know, these are the hit boxes that you would have in Grand Theft Auto 5. So that is definitely like appropriate to the right generation of people. But one of the things that's interesting is this hit zone is kind of center to the target shape of the paper, which is 24 inches by 36 inches. So generally speaking, there's a lot of guys who come in, they look at the target, they do the proper target identification, they decide that he's a threat, and they shoot right into the middle of the target, which usually is right into the middle of the guy. But on a lot of our side view targets, the middle of the target is right about here. And he said it was interesting how many people busted into the room, looked at the target, did positive identification, decided the guy was a threat, and then shot right in the middle of the paper, which totally missed the guy. So interesting, some of the lessons that are coming out of this. So that is, the Chameleon Targeting System. And I'll answer some questions about that if you have some. There's a lot of people who have asked for very specific targets, people who have wanted dogs, people who have wanted children, people who have wanted hostage takers, which are coming, people who have wanted child suicide bombers, which we're not planning on doing, underage dog suicide bombers, definitely not happening. Statistically, that's not a major threat vector. But the whole goal of the Chameleon Target System is basically to allow people to train to not shoot people, not to train people and be better at shooting people. Any target will do that. This is target identification training more than it is shooting training. So it is not shooting training more than it is shooting training. Yes, it's the ATF that wanted the dog targets. Good guess. That's an excellent guess. Have you thought about doing it on clear paper to see the effect of shooting at the center of the paper versus the target? Yeah, that would change things a little bit, but the main thing that it would change right off the bat is price. So these are expensive targets. They are $3 a piece, which is extremely pricey. And the reason for that is not what you think. It's not because making Grand Theft Auto 5 people is particularly hard, even though it did take me a long time. The main reason, the hardest part of this project from a technological perspective, is actually the printing. So I don't know if I should talk about this, Chad. We are using a combination of OEM ink and bootleg ink to print these targets, because it's the only way that the financials make sense. So Hickman County, formerly Moonshine Central during the Prohibition, once again, a place for bootleg, but ink this time. I mean, that's where the real money is printer ink. Inkjet ink is incredibly expensive stuff. And so that bootleg ink is the only way that we can make this work financially. And we had some really cool ideas of stuff that we were theoretically going to be able to do with customized inks, with sort of thermal response and infrared stuff, so that you could do low light things with these that would react in ways that you wouldn't expect because of the fancy inks. Turns out fancy inks are actually kind of hard to do in cheap inkjet printers. And I'm not going to explain how it is that I know that. I'm just going to say just fancy inks are hard to do through cheap inkjet printers. So all of these targets that we have made, we are expanding upon them. In fact, part of the reason that I'm talking about this in this live tonight is I was working on these over the weekend. I bought myself a new computer for a project, and I wanted to see how fast it was and give it the old stress test. And so I decided I would render these targets on my new computer and see how fast it was compared to my old computer. And turns out it was like 4 times faster. So yeah, Charles is laughing at how old and slow my computer was. The same computer that I have been using for years and been like, nah, it's fast. It's an i7, it's fast. Yeah, it turns out not fast. But the new Ryzen, quite fast, 4 times faster. Chameleon targets rendering much faster. So I've been rendering targets all weekend at 5 times speed, because I got the old machine and the new machine running side by side, printing out new targets, because we have a potentially very large order coming up and I wanted to make sure that we had enough. So, can I hire you to make character 3D models for my video game? No, I'm too busy. Also, if looking at these targets makes you want to hire me to do your video game, I go to Behance or CG Society or someplace like that and find a real modeler. Actually, I would say right now, I am interested in hiring a 3D model to make better chameleon targets than this. Part of the problem with the system that I built for the chameleon target generation is that it runs in Lightwave 3D, which is an older animation package, which I still love, but it's even older than my computer was, so it's pretty old. This should really be happening in a real-time engine. This should be happening inside of the Blender EV engine or Unity or Unreal, because then if we had a system that did this for paper targets, but it was all happening in Unreal or Unity, it would be very easy to turn that into a video game system or a virtual reality training simulator. Really easy to plug that output into other training aids, which would be extremely important for the future. So, yeah, if you are an Unreal or Unity developer who is really, really good at complicated stuff as relates to human characters, there's a whole bunch of different clothes. There's a whole bunch of different colors of clothes. There's hair, there's beards. There's also a ton of different morph targets for musculature and fat and different face shapes and expressions, which are not too important for these targets. But for things like the hostage taker targets, they're a little bit more important. I have personally drawn hundreds and hundreds of tattoos, which is not a thing that I was assuming that I would ever do in my life. And these things, either randomly or on cycles, are added to the targets. A system that takes all of that into account, as well as poses for the different weapon types. Yeah, something like that that is generated in a real-time basis as opposed to being rendered on an ancient computer in my house would be very cool, because it would be more future-proof. It could be immediately added to a virtual reality training scenario, which, I mean, paper is hard to beat, but something like that would be pretty cool. So, can I work for your company after I get out of the military? We'll see. We'll see what things are like. So a bunch of people here are pointing out that these are okay for target ID, but it's much better to buy normal targets for regular firearms training. I 150% agree. Do not buy these targets to do mag dumps. It is a waste of money for you, and it's kind of a waste of time for us. You should really be, well, actually, Chad, at this point, with ammo being what it is, buying these targets for mag dumps is not nearly as extravagant it once was, proportionally speaking. But even so, these are not for regular target practice. These are not for zeroing handguns, even though they do have a couple of utility targets up here at the top, just in case, you know, when you're doing your various drills, if you want to do 3-inch, 5-inch stuff, that is on there. Try to make the extra space on the paper usable for folks. There's places for notes and stuff like that as well. So, yeah, definitely don't use these for your regular trip to the range. These are for very specific kinds of training, but they are useful. The other thing is, hopefully, when you do training with these, you don't actually shoot the no-shoot targets, which means you get to reuse those. That's part of the reason that we sell a mix. I just realized, Charles, that the sticker here matches, let me turn it upside down, matches the color of the background perfectly. It's a half and half mix here. Blue for no shoots and red for shoots. I mean, technically this is up, but this matches. So you can buy tubes of only shoot targets because you've shot all of the shoot targets inside of this tube. And you can reuse the no-shoot targets, and that makes them a little more affordable. If you're careful, you save money on targets, and also you don't kill innocent people. So those are both pluses. I got some actual tattoo artists volunteering to do tattoos for future chameleon target people. Very handy. There's a lot of people asking about just throwing out different possibilities for things. These are targets. You could use these targets with a lot of different things. I actually have used cert pistols with these targets more than I have real actual firearms for a number of reasons. That's a very interesting training opportunity. Also, if you are setting this up in a shoot house, you should get a pencil and you should poke some holes in the non-shoot targets so that your guys are not cheating by just looking for the bullet holes and shooting at the bullet holes. How many times did you get covered in an ink explosion while working on this? Not covered. I never got completely covered, but I will say that various printer companies do not make it easy to refill the little cartridges with the bootleg ink. That's a great question. Could you do lizard people versus non-lizard people? Depending on how cruelly honest you want to be about the quality of the humans depicted here, you could argue we're already doing lizard people. I mean, some of these poses are janky. I mean, this is not human muscular skeletal system all the time. Sometimes there are glitches that get printed. You should put your face and the other faces of the team to see how many times you would die from a friend. We already know it's a lot. So yeah, T-Rex targets. There are a few people wearing T-Rex T-shirts in here. I'm not going to say what the percentage is because actually it varies. But you see T-Rex T-shirts amongst these targets occasionally. And sometimes T-Rex tattoos. There's a lot of T-Rex tattoo options. Yeah. If I ever meet someone who in person has actually done T-Rex arms, knuckle tattoos, I'm not really sure how I'm going to react. Seems like kind of a waste of 8 good knuckles. How do these contrast using night vision? So these work pretty well under night vision, but they're not 100% realistic because in real life, people are wearing clothing and their clothing is going to fluoresce under infrared light a little bit differently. These guys are printed with the same ink. And so when you shine infrared light on these targets, you end up with an image that looks pretty much like this image. So it's not drastically different than you would get, which is okay because it totally works, but it's not quite like real life where the visible light and the infrared light actually give you totally different looks on different fabrics and on different dyes and inks and things. So that is something that we had hoped to do again with the fancy ink, but turns out fancy ink is even harder to do than non-fancy bootleg ink.
If you want to touch on cutting them out and how
Some instructors have cut them out. So this is probably a good thing to do. Have your students, this will save ammo, have your students actually cut them out and put them places so that they can not have the white background to cheat with. There's a bunch of people in there asking about printing black backgrounds, printing gray backgrounds. Again, the most expensive part of this whole process is the ink, and so printing black and gray backgrounds just makes them considerably more expensive and makes our printers last for not nearly as many targets. But if you have time, you can cut them out. Or if you have students, you can have the students cut them out. Although then the students actually have kind of a preview of the targets that they're going to be seeing. So maybe don't have that particular class of students cut them out. But one of the things that other folks have been doing with these is they do a specific scenario and target ID stuff. They'll use their cell phones to take a picture of a certain target and they'll tell their guys, like, keep an eye out for this guy. This is a guy that you're looking for. This is a guy that you must shoot. This is a guy that you must not shoot, regardless of what he has in his hands. Like, there's all kinds of different scenarios that people build with these. And like in the thumbnail, you can see they've got a guy with a gun and then you've got a hostage nearby. And stuff like that is pretty easy to set up. T-Rex tattoo kits. No, probably not going to do tattoo kits. Brown paper. We've looked at some different types of paper. So that may be a thing that we have. Special perforated cut targets so that you can take the outside off easily. That would be kind of interesting. We could probably do that best if we had a laser cutter that was smart and we could feed it the alpha channel for this. We could actually perforate the outside or maybe cut it out. That would be kind of interesting. That would be something. Do you really want your students using scissors? You know, I don't know. If you are a highfalutin hostage rescue team and you're planning on letting your guys take fully automatic weapons into buildings full of people, they're probably kind of okay with scissors, right? I mean, you will have a medic, so it's probably worth the risk, I would say. People asking if we ship them internationally. We do. There was a little bit of a delay at first getting all the ITAR stuff cleared up with various folks, but we have all the right paperwork and certificates now, so a pretty big chunk of the orders that we have shipped this year, or in the past 12 months, rather, a lot of those have gone overseas. So yeah, no, we can ship those overseas. That is not a problem. Aaron from Sage Dynamics is a fan of using t-shirts over targets as it obscures your hits. Yes. So you don't have real-time shot placement feedback. Yes, that is one of the disadvantages of paper targets when you're up close anyway. Because, yeah, I find that I cheat a lot when I'm doing close-up stuff. And I guess it's not really cheating if I could see my hits in real life. But, yeah, using t-shirts shows what you might actually see in real life. And it is surprising. Scissors are dangerous. This is true. Don't have them run with the scissors. You guys are very wise. Was that Sean Bean? Yeah, Sean Bean. I don't know why. The algorithm will not let me print a no-shoot Sean Bean target. Fate has just decreed that he must always be killed and he must always die. So all the Sean Bean targets are just shoot targets, no matter what I do. Yeah. Yeah, so the chameleon targets have been very interesting. Limbs covering center mass. Yes, we have poses where the limbs cover center mass. And if I can pull one of these out for you, I should have pulled these out earlier so that they would be flat and not quite so curly. But when their arms do cover center mass, the arms and the weapons actually obscure the scoring zone. So you can see that this area here is being cut off by this arm, and this area here is being cut off by the weapon. Now, also, it's very hard for you to see these scoring lines. Can you zoom in, Charles?
Yeah.
If you zoom in, how hard they are to see is also a feature, so that when you're standing back a few yards, it's actually difficult to see these scoring zones. But it is being occluded by his arm. And by his weapon, even the front side of his weapon, even though I'm not entirely sure that that gas block would totally stop a bullet, but it would deflect it, so makes sense to occlude it. But yeah, you can see a large target area that includes head, spine, big torso, and then you can see the heart box right there. Again, this is fancy video game level technology here. How about uniformed bad guys? Yeah, so there is a lot of, like I said, we've had a lot of requests. We've had requests for specific uniforms for bad guys, specific uniforms for the friendlies. And we've also had different groups ask for bad guys wearing specific clothing of specific geographic areas. And that is the sort of thing where it's a lot of work to actually create all of those 3D assets. And I have pretty limited time at the moment because T-Rex is, T-Rex does more than the Chameleon Target project. What else do we sell, guys? Is it, I don't think we're allowed to talk about any of our other products until we're caught up after the snowstorm. So maybe we do only sell Chameleon Targets this week. But we have a bunch of, it would have to be a pretty big request to where we could set aside the time. But if we had interest in a really customized order, we would probably go out and find a 3D modeler and texture artist to actually build those assets. So it is on the horizon. It's not on the immediate horizon. I'm not working on it this week. ATF uniforms. Yeah, that's something. Target's shoulder could deflect 5.56. Target's shoulder does occlude the hitbox in certain areas. It comes all the way up to mid deltoid, the occluding zone. Although there are occasionally some weird glitches. I saw one guy the other day that was rendering. He was a hostage with his hands behind his head and is really a weird angle, and the heart box actually had kind of drifted outside of the main scoring zone, which I didn't think was possible, but there it was. Do you sell some plastic or something? Well, we sell some plastic sometimes. Yeah, no, in all honesty, the website is up and running. You may buy holsters. We are a little bit behind because we had a bit of trouble last week. We were iced in. We couldn't ship holsters as quickly as we could make them. And we couldn't even make holsters as quickly as we normally did. In fact, last week I made holsters because not that many people were able to make it in. And it was kind of like the good old days. I haven't made holsters in a long time, but last week I made holsters. So if there's extra warranty claims... or people getting sent the wrong holster next week, I'm going to regret saying this live on camera. And I'm sure Kyle is watching. So, I made holsters last week. We'll see what the fallout of that is. Can the viewers that are just coming on get a recap? Yes, I forgot this is how T-Rex Lives work. People jump on and off. We're talking about chameleon targets, which are the computer-generated targets that we make at T-Rex. Randomized... attributes on people that have poses that are extremely 100% realistic and physiological poses that are 100% good. Here's one of our side view targets. Here we got a side view target, and this is a little bit of a puzzle. It's interesting how many people will actually see that guy is holding a knife. But still shoot center mass on the target as opposed to center mass on the guy because of the way that we've kind of programmed our brains to shoot at targets. Tons of different variables as in shirt insignia, clothing types, clothing colors, skin colors, hairstyles, facial hair, hats, glasses, masks. Oh, you know what we need to do is we need to update our targets with more masks because I think that's probably, art imitating life. Pentagram tattoos, yeah. Someone asked, I thought you were banned from making holsters. Technically, I'm only banned from buffing holsters. Making holsters on the CNC machines, I'm not actually banned from. In fact, there was a time when every single holster that was made on a CNC machine was made by me, because we only had one machine and we only had one guy that knew how it worked. Back then, actually, we didn't even have one person that knew how it worked. But I made holsters on it anyway. So, yeah. Do the targets need a solid backing or just a 2x4 frame to keep them up? They are, I forget what weight of paper it is, but it is a fairly heavy-duty paper. So they definitely are better with cardboard if you're going to be out in the wind. But they're fairly sturdy. 25 in the tube is actually surprisingly heavy. Some people want blemished chameleon ideas. I mean, you can imagine what it looks like. It looks like Cyberpunk 2077 glitch videos. That's kind of what it looks like. What do you do for T-Rex arms if I am not allowed to make holsters? I make stuff like chameleon targets. And I do last minute T-Rex lives like this one. I don't know. We're also doing a bunch of stuff in the back. We are about to rejig all of production, which is probably a bad idea, but we're going to do it anyway because the new layout is going to be a lot more productive. But it also means moving all the equipment around, which is starting to feel a lot like changing the tires on a moving car. So that's what we're going to do. People asking, can I be added to the targets? Well, the algorithm is a mysterious thing. Odds are that somewhere inside of the giant stack of targets, you have already been portrayed. Mark Cuban target. Yeah, there's probably a Mark Cuban one. Mm-hmm. Trudeau, certainly not. Absolutely not. There's no Justin Trudeau target. Now people are just throwing out random people and celebrities. These are all in terribly poor taste, but yes, we should, recommendations. Yeah, just do you guys have any questions that aren't related to Jeffrey Epstein and various other political figures being targets? The facial hair on the targets, is that for both male and female? Question marks. Well, you know, we should ask the Department of Health and Human Services what is legally required, and if we're even legally allowed to label our targets anymore. Although we can save ourselves some work, Charles. I mean, we have male targets, and we haven't made any female targets yet. Maybe we just label some of these as female targets and say that we're done, we're finished.
Yeah, we could.
Work done, yep. How long before the chameleon target system becomes self-aware? It's way more primitive than you think it is. I'm not worried about that. ATACR radio updates. I do actually want to change gears at some point and talk about some other tech stuff. So the chameleon target system is our first sort of tech-based product. Admittedly, the part that you buy is only ink on paper, so there's nothing super cutting edge about that, even though I've already given myself two paper cuts. But the technology behind it is, advanced is not the right word, complicated, convoluted. But this is kind of our first technical project. And I think that it is very important to be talking about some needs in the world of tactical training where technology could really help and there could be an update in technical the technology there, like I mentioned earlier, virtual reality. Someone asking if the target poser generated from mocap. No, we're not that technologically advanced. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that we really should be working on. And when I say we, I don't just mean T-Rex. I mean everybody in the community. There's a bunch of things that we should be developing and working on. Fat people targets. Yes, fat people targets is already done. We already have fat people targets. That's not a huge technological achievement. That's just widening the targets that already exist. But there are some folks talking about digital radios. So digital radios, digital night vision, there's a bunch of technological tools that we should be working on. And again, these aren't things that T-Rex is working on. These aren't necessarily things that T-Rex is set up to be working on right now. But these are things that our community should be working on and figuring out how to do. Again, this right here, you're looking at 100% of my technical and artistic capability right here. It doesn't get much better than these Grand Theft Auto 5 guys. So if you want some super awesome, fancy virtual reality training setup, you're gonna need to find somebody besides me. I think it's funny how some of you people in the chat think that I'm like the Tony Stark of whatever it is they were doing here, when I am barely the Ant-Man of what happens at T-Rex Arms. Like, this is the most cobbled together stuff. And so is the engineering department, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody asks what Lucas carries, what does Isaac carry? I carry a Glock 19, but speaking of technology, I have upgraded to a Red Dot. I'm running a Trigicon RMR, and I'm just starting to get used to it to the point where it's not slower than irons. So that's good. And it does have a threaded barrel, but I almost never run it suppressed because suppressed pistols are not quite as cool as suppressed rifles. Tony Stark built us in a cave out of spare parts. Absolutely. Although our cave is pretty cool. I have to say, our cave is pretty sweet. somebody says these targets look like Norman Rockwell paintings. Let's agree to disagree. Or disagree to agree. Let's talk about radios for a little bit, because I see a bunch of people asking questions about radios. One of the things that we need as a community is we need better communication tools, and we need better autofocus on our cameras. So one of the things that I have been doing is radio research. Again, I've been pretty busy this year, so I haven't done as much of the radio research as I had originally hoped to do, and I haven't done as much as I did last year. But I'm coming to the conclusion that we need more modern technology in our future radio systems. And the reason for that is ham radio is pretty limited, and the ham radio equipment that you can actually buy is fairly old school. And there's a bunch of very cool stuff that's being developed that just isn't available to civilians, just isn't available to amateurs. And I'm not saying that that necessarily needs to change, but a lot of that technology needs to be implemented in more civilian accessible stuff. So that is something that is, again, it's not on my to-do list particularly, but it is something that needs to be on the to-do list of folks in our community. That is one of the most important things that I think folks should be trying to fix and trying to solve. And it isn't just because we're going to get kicked off of YouTube, we're going to get kicked off of Twitter, we're going to get kicked off of Instagram and Facebook, although those things are obviously going to happen. Do you remember, if you live in Tennessee or Kentucky or northern Georgia, northern Alabama, we had some massive internet outages on Christmas Day and for the next few days because one bomb managed to take out one AT&T switching center. We also have had massive power outages throughout Texas and a few other southern states over the last few days, or the last week. And for a few days, the massive power outages affected to some major communications shutdowns. So it is important that we be working on better communication within our communities, period, regardless of anything that's happening in the 21st century. Just the level of resiliency and backup that we should have. If we're going to talk about being self-reliant, if we're going to talk about taking responsibility, being able to protect other people with firearms, the same holds true with medical equipment, and the same holds true with various other pieces of equipment and tools. And one of those tools is communication. So these are things that we really should be working on. And mesh networking is something that really is the future of decentralized, private, and resilient communications. So there are some very cool things happening in the area of mesh networking, but none of those things are immediately accessible to you and me in ways that are really handy and easy to set up. But there's no real reason that they couldn't be outside of, well, FCC regulations maybe. So those are some of the things that that we should be working on. I'm not saying that we completely abandon ham radio. You should go get your ham license. You should learn how to use ham radios. You should learn how to do digital modes on HF. But we should also be building tools that are a little more up to date than regular analog stuff. And there's a bunch of other research that we should be doing as well. It is something that is becoming more and more apparent. We were joking earlier about how we're all going to get kicked off of Twitter and Facebook and et cetera. And that's not entirely a joke. And so being able to be a little bit more security conscious with our internet communications and our internet usage is important. So I don't know what the plan is for future decentralized digital mesh internet that we're going to build in the future, but I do know that right now, today, you should be running an ad blocker on your browser, and you should probably be running multiple browsers, and you should be running your traffic through a VPN, and you should probably be looking at a VPN router so that you can secure more of your data on your devices when you're at home. These are things that all of us should be doing right now, and we should be researching some decentralized server solutions in the existing internet, so that we have better ways of keeping in touch with one another. I have been in, I was in a number of different Discord servers that got shut down early this year. So look for solutions that are more decentralized, that people that you trust control or that you control, as opposed to just large services. We're not really sure who is running it and who is controlling it and what the rules of the future are going to be. And so these are things that we should all be doing from a technological standpoint. And again, it's not something where T-Rex Arms is going to build a new internet for you or the T-Rex Arms is going to build ad blockers for you. This is something that you're going to have to research on your own. Even if I told you exactly what you need to be doing today, that doesn't necessarily mean that that advice is going to be the best advice tomorrow. We were telling people to be on Discord months or years ago, but that is not good advice today. A better piece of advice today is to look into Matrix servers, where you actually host this server yourself so that you have some control over what it actually is doing. and nobody can take it away from you. And I'd say that if you're a business and you are running on somebody else's platform like Shopify or Salesforce, or even if you're using Amazon servers, now is probably a good time to look for alternatives, alternatives that you have more control over, simply because you don't know what the new rules are going to be in the future. And of those services that I just mentioned, we already know what the rules have been changing to, and they're not good. And generally speaking, not helpful. One of the things that we've done here at T-Rex is our videos are no longer hosted on Vimeo. The videos that we ourselves put on our website, we're hosting someplace else. Now, we're not hosting them in-house, but we've picked a different provider for various reasons. Now, we're still on YouTube. In fact, if you're watching this right now, you're watching this on YouTube. But we're also taking the audio of this and we're uploading it to a different location and hosting it as a podcast. So that's something that we have more control over than YouTube. And if you're watching this in the future on YouTube, I'd actually be a little bit surprised. But if you're listening to this on a podcast in the future, I actually think that that makes a bit more sense. Now, if you are listening to this in the future, I'm a little bit surprised that you're listening to it at all, because this is fairly topical stuff. And hopefully the chameleon targets are completely obsolete and we have something better. And we're not on YouTube because we have something better. And hopefully you'd have better stuff to watch at this point. But there's a bunch of stuff that I think that we should be researching and looking into as a community. And I know that people always ask about digital encrypted radios, and they always ask about cheaper digital night vision, but there's a lot of basic stuff that we still need to figure out. And things like how we actually communicate on the internet without relying on Google, Amazon, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, those are priorities. And then there's a bunch of other stuff that I think would be really cool products that they're less fancy, they're a little bit less James Bond, but one of the things that I have really wanted somebody to make, and we're too busy at T-Rex to work on this, so this is like a free business idea for somebody. In the Vietnam War, one of the things that was built for soldiers are seismic sensors, and they used to put out strings of seismic sensors on wire out in the jungle, and they were sensitive enough sensors that they could detect, in theory, footsteps of people walking through the jungle. I'm not going to say which people, because I don't think we're allowed to talk about history anymore because it's racially insensitive. So we'll just say bipeds. Human bipeds walking through the jungle were supposed to be detected by these analog sensors. And I think that the way that they worked was there was a weight inside of a spring, and it moved through a coil if there was any vibration. And depending on which reports you read, these were very effective or somewhat effective. And they could actually pick up a lot of different things, including low-flying helicopters. And up until fairly recently, you could actually buy military surplus versions of these seismic sensor alarm kits on eBay. And I think all the preppers bought them, because they're actually very hard to come by and extremely expensive. But as far as I know, there is not anything quite like that on the market that has a digital sensor. And it would actually be a pretty easy thing to build. There's inside of my phone, in addition to all the phone type stuff and the radios and things that let Google and Instagram spy on me 24 hours a day, there are a number of sensors, gyroscopes and accelerometers. And these are so sensitive that there are researchers that have used just the vibrations from the accelerometers to pick up audio inside of a room. So just my phone lying on the table should be able to pick up the vibrations from my voice and convert that into audio without even using the microphone, which of course this phone has. It has a bunch of microphones so that Google can listen to us all the time and pass that information on to whoever needs it in the Biden administration. But there's a whole bunch of system on a chip devices that have accelerometers that are extremely sensitive. So building a little network of sensors that you could put around the perimeter of your home and hear when people are coming up to your house is pretty handy. And I think that there'd be a lot of other uses too. Like I can imagine if I was bow hunting or rifle hunting or muzzleloader hunting in the future after all firearms are banned, who knows what I will be hunting with. But I could lay a loop of these sensors around the tree and see on my phone which Google will still let me have, hopefully, in the future, after I've been through all the retraining camps and they still let me hunt, I'll be able to see any impact or any vibrations on the ground and just have a better idea of what game is doing around me. So I think that this is a product that would actually have a pretty good market just in the hunting community. But that would be, that would be something that I personally want. I have a couple of different alarms on my driveway, but it would actually be really cool to have these on the perimeter of my property and be able to know when animals are there or when people are walking up. It'd be pretty cost effective and pretty handy, and it would be useful in a lot of different scenarios. So yeah, just a free idea. Somebody should make that. It's not as cool and awesome as a magical digital mesh radio that connects to the whole world or digital night vision that costs $100, but it is way more doable. And in a lot of situations, it would be a lot more useful. So yeah. Where is this chat going? I have no idea. Normally I pay attention to the chat sort of, but it's confusing and generally takes me on a whole bunch of rabbit trails. So I decided to do my own rabbit trails this time. So when it comes to digital technology, there's a whole bunch of really cool opportunities. And I want to encourage the people watching the stream to be trying to figure out what new ideas they can bring to some of the needs that exist. And the chameleon targets, I think, are a great example of that. So Lucas is somebody who, does he play video games, you guys? Ever? Yeah, I think he plays video games sometimes. I think he might be on Twitch. In fact, he's actually gonna be streaming on Twitch very shortly, as soon as we're done here. He knew what was possible with video game engines, and he saw a need that was lacking in the training community and was able to pair those up. A new piece of technology that solved an old problem. And I think that we need to be really looking for opportunities like that to solve problems that exist. Let me look at the chat real quick. Will you ever do an update for the digital night vision video you did a year or two ago? Yes, it's on the list of things to do, but it's actually not my fault that I haven't been updating it more. There haven't been that many advances when it comes to digital night vision. So when there's a big one, we'll cover it for sure. How's it going with the CNC mill? Very well. It's really great to be able to have a CNC mill in-house make parts out of metal. And it's actually easier than I thought. And as you hear a lot of conversation this year about ghost guns and taking away 3D printers, just know that it's incredibly easy to make metal parts on a CNC machine. Not as easy as 3D printing, but it's just interesting to me that that is what everybody is all worked up about. That is another thing, by the way, that everybody should be figuring out how to experiment with. And that is 3D printers. For $300, you can get a filament printer or a resin printer. It's worth experimenting and playing with that. I'm not saying everybody should do it, but in your group of friends, I would say somebody should get a 3D printer. You should all pitch in and buy a 3D printer, and you guys should learn how to use it and make cool stuff out of it. Same with some of this digital and radio stuff. I'm not saying that every single person watching this stream has to become some kind of mesh networking guru, but in your group of friends, in your community, you should have somebody who is devoting time to this, even if it means the other people pool their money to buy him the equipment that he needs. Same is true of gunsmithing. Same is true of 3D printing. Same is true of various other skills that you should have in your group, in your community. You need to figure out ways where you can make that happen, especially if it's specialized stuff where not everybody can do it. Everybody does need to be competent in certain areas, but there are always going to be some specialties where in your team, you need a guy who's able to do that and give it some extra time. So, yeah. There's a bunch of people making 3D printed guns. I am aware of this, actually, you guys. You should totally research it because it's very cool and awesome. Opinion of Tormach CNC. I don't have any experience, but I hear good things. There's a whole bunch of different ways of making random mechanical parts. Random mechanical parts that could be assembled together into random mechanical tools. And the ease of creating all of these parts and the associated, fully assembled machinery is just getting easier and easier all the time. And that is a problem for people who want certain mechanical devices to not be in certain people's hands. It's a fascinating time that we live in, guys. 3D printing is very fun and accessible, yes. So as we got off track from the chameleon targets, it's really fun to talk through some of these things. But let's get back onto, what are you seeing, Chad, on the thing here? People are asking random questions. I blame myself for just talking about random stuff.
How long did it take you to actually design the algorithm and all that stuff?
Oh, how long did it take to do the chameleon stuff? So there was a proof of concept very quickly. Like, I think within a couple of weeks of Lucas having the original idea, I had put together a proof of concept where there was a person and his clothes were changing color and he was changing size and there were randomized camera angles and different weapons. But then, and I think we worked on it for like 7 or 8 months before we released it. But that wasn't really full time because we were still doing all the normal T-Rex stuff on the side. So yeah, I definitely spent less time making holsters then. That was right when more people were making holsters and I was able to do less of that. So yeah. So always be thinking of opportunities like this and then go out and find the people who can do it. Again, Lucas had the idea, but he didn't have the ability to do it. I had the ability to do not his idea completely, but I had the ability to do, you know, this. So we kind of met in the middle. Yeah, there's a bunch of people talking about 3D printers. This is actually kind of a useful chat, the part that I'm seeing. Is it as crazy as normal? Is chat as out of control as normal? Because every time I look down, it's actually kind of helpful. People talking about rifled barrels. Electrochemical machining is the answer to rifled barrels. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that we should be thinking about and working on. One of the things that I have really appreciated as I've watched this community grow, not just the T-Rex community, but various other folks who are plugged into a similar mindset. And it isn't all Second Amendment guys, but it's mostly Second Amendment guys, because the Second Amendment is something that really kind of solidifies your ideology. If you want to break political ideologies down into two camps, there's basically only two camps. People that want the government to be bigger and have more power, people that want the government to be smaller and have less power. And the Second Amendment, or the idea of private weapons ownership, puts you immediately in one of those two camps. And there's no question or idea that so clearly delineates bigger government or smaller government as private arms ownership and the responsibility of the private citizen. And so it tends to be folks in the Second Amendment community that are focused on building capability, being more responsible, being better equipped to help other people. But in that community of people that would like to be more self-reliant, would like to be more independent from the government, would like to do more community building and do more helping and loving of their neighbor, that community has developed a lot over the years. And I really appreciate a lot of the developments that I've seen. When I was a kid, there was a prepper community that was extremely individualistic, and it was built in almost entirely upon survival and just kind of checking out of problematic systems and surviving things that were difficult. But I see something a little bit different now amongst people who, maybe at first glance, they look the same. They're stocking up on certain supplies. They're building out capabilities with tools. They are acquiring weapons. They would like to have the ability to communicate. They would like to be less reliant upon infrastructure. And yet there is more of a community focus, which I think is extremely important. That's a really, really good development. And I'm not saying that didn't exist in the past, but it is more visible now. And that's something that we should double down on. And I also want to finish this live stream by mentioning something kind of related. It is not today, But the 27th of February, a couple days from now, is going to be the 400th anniversary of the establishment of the first American militia. The first citizens' militia inside of America was founded in 1621, February 27th, in the colony of Plymouth. So this is kind of the beginning of the American tradition of the militia. Now, even up till that time, the people of that colony were prepared to defend themselves, but they established an official militia. And the thing that was most different about that militia from things that we had seen previously, now we hadn't seen much previously in the Americas because the other British colony that had started was Jamestown in 1607. But here's a very important distinction. Miles Standish was the military commander of that militia. But the interesting thing was he was elected to that position. It was very important and significant that the citizens established this original militia of 1621, and the military commander was something that was elected from among their own people. The military commander was voted in by free men. This is a principle that separates militias from armies, regular armies. And I know there's a bunch of other issues relating to pay, relating to uniforms, relating to expected duties and responsibilities that sort of separate different types of militaries and armies and structures. But this is a very interesting distinction of a militia. The people who are in the militia, who are volunteering to help their neighbors, defend their neighbors, elected their military commander. Now, it's a little bit complicated because Miles Standish was officially hired to come out and be like a military consultant and help them, but they also elected him to that position when they formed their militia, even though they didn't have to. He could have still been a hired consultant and they could have elected somebody else. So that is a very fascinating thing that happened almost exactly 400 years ago. And it's really important that we know our history about this stuff because there's... there's a bunch of miscommunication and misinformation that's going around. In fact, President Biden himself was commenting on the Second Amendment, and he made the comment that it's perfectly all right to prevent people from keeping and bearing certain types of arms. That doesn't go against the Second Amendment whatsoever, because even in the past, people were not allowed to own cannons. And that is completely historically incorrect. People were, in fact, allowed to own cannons. Many private citizens did, in fact, own cannons. If cannons ever were owned by the government for whatever reason, if they were confiscated from people or recovered from people, they would be placed on public auctions so that private citizens could buy them again. And one of the reasons that the war for American independence got kicked off in the Battle of Lexington and Concord was the British regulars were coming to confiscate the privately owned cannons that the American colonists were beginning to gather together in preparation for, you know, the conflict that happened later. So this is a very important issue to understand, and the history is a very important thing to understand. And even the vocabulary that was used at the time is very important so that we can fully understand what the founders meant, what they were arguing for, what they were describing, and we can make a good argument and a good defense for what it is that we are trying to uphold within the Constitution. So, I know we started with chameleon targets, we're ending with militias and constitutions, and yet it's still kind of on topic, being better prepared, being better trained, and having the right tools. So, thanks very much for watching this video. Once again, we're backing all of these things up to our podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast in all the normal podcasty places, Stitcher, iTunes, etc. Probably not iTunes for super long, but Spotify and, you know, other places like that. You can find T-Rex Talks. And sign up for our newsletter also, because if we get kicked off of various social media platforms, the email address that you give us is the way that we will be able to contact you. So thank you so much for watching yet another video. We're trying to do these once a week. And we're doing podcasts once a week as well. So sign up for the podcast or just subscribe and get the notification here at YouTube for all the good it'll do you, because they generally don't notify people. And we'll see you next week talking about something probably more structured. Actually, probably not.